Please stand by. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Getting Started with Host Access Transformation Services, or HATS, conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Kevin Larson. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Greetings, everyone. Thank you again for joining us. We very much appreciate you taking the time to be on this call with us. As we said, today is Getting Started with Host Access Transformation Services, or HATS. This is number 5 in a series of Getting Started chats to help you get started with WebSphere applications on the IBM eServer iSeries server. I have a few announcements to make before we get started with our speaker. First of all, as always, we do appreciate your feedback on this, both during the conference when we have the survey, but also offline is appreciated as well. If you have comments you'd like to share, either positive or negative, on the entire series or on a specific session, please feel free to contact me. My email is kevlars, that's kevlars at us.ibm.com. We'd be very happy to hear from you. Another announcement, as always, we record these sessions, and they are archived on the iSeries Nation site. So if you have a colleague that's not able to attend, or you have customers who are not able to attend, or perhaps you'd just like to re-listen to the session, these are archived, again, the presentations and the audio, on the iSeries Nation site, and it's pretty easy to find. Just go to the same site or the same tab on iSeries Nation where you downloaded this presentation, and you'll be able to see where you can get the archived version. And then finally, one other thing I'll make you aware of, we are in the plans of adding one more session to this series called Getting Started with WebSphere Performance Tuning and Tools on iSeries. It's what it's going to be called. Most likely it will be held on November 2nd, although we haven't finalized the plans. However, this is a very important session. It'll really wrap itself around everything you've learned with all of the products over the previous sessions and help you to realize optimal performance of these applications on your iSeries server. Again, check the iSeries Nation homepage at www.ibm.com/eServer/iSeries/Nation and navigate to the Getting Started tab for updates. We hope to have this updated within the next week or so you can register and so forth. So again, just want to make you aware of that. Okay, today we have Nitin Rout, who is an advisory software engineer in the iSeries Technology Center in Rochester, Minnesota, going to tell you how to get started with WebSphere Host Access Transformation Services, or HATS, on iSeries. Nitin?
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for the nice introduction. And good morning and good afternoon to people from EMEA. Good morning to people from U.S. As Kevin mentioned, I'm Nitin Rout, part of iSeries Technology Center in IBM Rochester. And our major mission in to do is field technical enablement, which involves technical consulting, skill transfer using classroom education, webcast, and web conferences like this. So today's topic is getting started with host access transformation services, or HATS. Now, what we're going to cover in this particular presentation, which you have downloaded from the iSeries Nation website, we're going to look at what is HATS, its architecture, a little bit on packaging, how to get HATS product installed, and how to configure it a little bit. And then create a simple HATS application, getting into that using the default template, and you will see how easy it is to create a HATS application using the WebSphere Studio. And HATS Studio becomes a plugin to WebSphere Studio. We'll look at those things also. Then we'll get into a little bit on a customization option, where how do you customize the basic HATS application created to HATS Studio, and we'll look at some of the wizards which are available to customize that application. And subsequently, we'll look at some of the administration aspects of HATS application, where you can actually monitor connection pooling. It does make use of connection pooling as a part of the deploy process, and then this administration application is embedded right into your HATS application when you create this application part of your WPSD or WebSphere. And then subsequently, we look at some of the portal support which got added as a part of version 5 tooling. And we look at how it is easy to create, convert web applications from a normal standard web application into a portlet and deploy that onto the portal server. And I do have some backup slides on preparing the application for production. If time permits, we might get into that. Otherwise, those are for reference only. And then there are some installation requirements as towards the end of the presentation, which is beyond the summary page. That also is kind of a backup chart. And then we'll basically wrap up with some of the resources and the demos in the labs which are available as a part of HATS website, where you can actually download the labs and you can try it out at Studio product by yourself. So that's basically pretty much what we're going to cover in the next 1 hour of part of this particular presentation. So getting into the page two, which is basically what is Host Access Transformation Service? HATS transforms the scenes of host applications into web pages that is part of a website application running on the web server. End users can access these pages from the web browser and use the pages to send and receive data from the application. The end user might not be even aware that they are actually interacting with the host application, because what they see is just a browser-based access, and basically they pretty much do everything in the browser-based access. You can extend the application to the end users like customers, suppliers, even internal staff members using workstations with a browser-based access. So to define HATS per se, as the slide indicates, it's a rule-based web-to-host transformation engine that provides a customized access to one or more host applications. And we'll look at these in detail as we go along in the presentation. And it dynamically creates a new HTML interface on the fly while significantly improving the navigation and productivity of legacy application or enterprise application. And as you see on the chart, you can actually convert your green screen main menu into like a hyperlink or radio buttons or those kind of things. So getting into the chart number three or page number three, 50 to 50 green screens can be transformed on the fly. The user transformation green screen to the pure HTML application presentation in the browser. And basically what user sees is the browser-based access to that application. And there are standard templates provided as a part of this particular HATS Studio product, which you can actually make use of. And we'll actually look at one of the examples, how easy it is to use the standard template and create a HATS application in just merely three steps or three steps wizard kind of thing. The templates can be further customized to individual scenes or default templates, which can be applied to each screen. We'll look at those in detail as we go along. Getting into the page four, which is basically the first chart which I had mentioned, it's a rule-based web-to-host transformation. Basically, the power of HATS lies in its ability to accurately recognize each host stream and then and components on those host streams, and then real-time actually transform them into a web interface. So basically, that's the power of HATS Studio or HATS application. And basically, the transformation happens the web interface based on set of predefined rules. And there are some standard predefined rules which are provided, but you can create your own rules based on your application, and you can actually change the web look and feel of that application. The second line in that particular, going to page number five, it provides a customized access to one or more host applications. You can basically merge the data from various sources into single web interface, which supports transformation of data objects from 30 to 70, 50 to 50. So even if you have a heterogeneous environment with the iSeries and vSeries and mainframes, you can actually combine those kind of applications to a single window. From user experience, it's a single window to access these multiple applications. It does support data objects to speech post and adds further customization. Also. Getting into the third line, which is basically dynamically creates a new web HTML interface, page 6. So basically, on the client side, what you need is just your browser. So it's a zero footprint, zero download kind of option. What you need is just a standard browser, and it does support a variety of browsers. I have a chart towards the back which actually depicts what kind of browser it supports. So we are not restricted by Internet Explorer or Netscape. It supports a variety of browsers. And even if the application changes based on the transformation you have specified, there is no breakdown in terms of your web application when you actually even if the application is changing at the back. So the last thing on that particular kind of a definition, which is on page 7, where it says significantly improves the navigation and productivity of legacy or enterprise applications. So here basically you can actually customize variety of elements on your hosting, such as drop-down list, hot link. You can add tables, buttons, value lists, or tab folders, or even graphs, depending on how you want to represent your data. And that basically is interacting with your RPG COBOL for the application, and you can certainly present that particular form. So you can add even HTML elements like logos, graphics, backgrounds, and web links, those things. And we'll look at some of these aspects as we go along with this presentation. That basically kind of summarizes in terms of what Hacks can do. It's a rule-based web-to-host transformation engine that provides a customized access to one or more host applications and dynamically creates your web HTML interface and significantly improves the navigation of productivity of the enterprise application. So what is Hacks to, in a nutshell? Basically, host screen, as we mentioned, to convert web like GUI on the fly at the real time, so there is no pretty much development time efforts involved in terms of basically except for the customization. It preserves the existing application, so you basically don't change your enterprise application. You basically make it into a Hacks application. It's easy to web to host first step to get you started. You can basically be up and running within days once you install your Hacks application on the application server. It eliminates or need to customize each and every screen. So basically, you can have a global rules or global customization transformation scenario where you can actually apply those. Say, if I have a subfile to be converted, I can apply that to every subfile in my application. So those kind of standard set of rules you can apply, or standard set of transformations you can apply to different components as a part of your application. It's a low skills investment. Basically, initially, you don't need any Java skills to create Hacks application. Underneath, it does certainly create Java code. We'll look at some of those aspects as we go along. But initially, as a part of creating the Hacks application, it's all wizard-driven, so you can actually have your RPG program getting into Hacks application with minimum skills requirement in terms of Java. It's a rule-based, it's customizable, so basically you define rules and those will be customizable. There are standard templates which are provided, which can. And it's near load and go kind of implementation where you can install the Hacks application and within, as I mentioned, within days you can be up and running on your web application. It's zero footprint on the desktop. What you need on the browser side, on the client side, is just a browser. You don't need to download any applet or nothing like that. It generates standard HTML kind of interface supporting multiple browsers as a part of the particular application. And part of the Hacks Studio we look at, it offers iterative development that you can actually customize the application for the web look and feel what you want, and basically try it out or test it out within the test environment and subsequently deploy it to production. And in terms of functionality, it certainly offers unlimited functionality in terms of what you can do with the Hacks. Let's get into some of the architecture aspects of this particular product, which is on page 9. Basically, it's a WebSphere-based architecture. So the Hacks Studio is nothing but a plugin to WebSphere Studio. So for iSeries World, it's a plugin to WebSphere Development Studio. And it's purely wizard-based, no programming or skills required. Initially, bare minimum Java skills or absolutely no Java skills required to get you started. And for the runtime, you can deploy to two different things with version 5. You can either deploy as a web application, website application server, and you can start off with Express or you can have to deploy on base to do that. But the minimum requirement is website application server Express. And then you can actually create portlets also and deploy it on the portal server. So if you are in the portal server, you can certainly do that. So Hacks basically creates year files and war files, and you can actually package those into a J2E standard specification, and then basically deploy those using the admin console, either of WebSphere application server or portal server to deploy those particular applications. So looking at Hatch as a product, there are two components. One is the Hatch Studio, which is basically a plugin to WebSphere Studio. In iSeries world, it's the WebSphere Development Studio client, standard as well as advanced solution, which basically creates the Hatch application, which lets you create the application using some of the wizards that are provided. So when you install Hatch Studio on top of WBSD or WebSphere Development Studio client, Hatch is nothing but a first thing, another kind of view to create the Hatch application. Now, once you create the Hatch application, you can deploy that on WebSphere application server or WebSphere portal server, and that's basically the runtime component where you can actually package the application into the studio and deploy it on the WebSphere application server. The minimum requirement is basically WebSphere application server, but basically it's this JSP server kind of web application. So it doesn't really create BJP. The first thing you want to do is base the edition start off with and then you use some of the admin capabilities of WebSphere application server to actually go ahead and deploy this application, which is created Hatch Studio, which is part of WebSphere application WebSphere development. So getting into the WebSphere Studio, which is basically a foundation tool for this particular Hatch Studio, page 11. So WebSphere Studio is basically a foundation tool which developed the Hatch application. The Hatch so version 5 is installed as a plugin, as I mentioned, as a part of this particular process. And then there's a Hatch perspective which gets added as a part of Hatch Studio. And then when you start a workbench, you'll actually see a Hatch perspective opened up with the Hatch welcome page. And there are nice little wizards which we'll talk about a little bit, how to create a project, how to modify the templates. And it's actually in the order fashion. I have a chart coming up on that. So when you talk about Hatch Studio, which is on basically page 12, that tool understands the host application. So basically, Hatch Studio has a user presentation as well as there are class libraries, host access class libraries, HSDL, which are required to actually talk to the host application. And as you see, Hatch Studio is built up on Eclipse framework, which is the open source. Then we have WebSphere Workbench, and there are different versions of WebSphere Development Studio. WebSphere Site Developer, Application Developer, or Integrated Integration Edition. And on top of that, your Hatch Studio sits on top. So basically, Hatch Studio is nothing but a plugin to WebSphere Studio. So for iSeries customers, WebSphere Development Studio client, the iSeries package, Hatch Studio could be a plugin on top of that. So when you start the Hatch Studio, there's a welcome page, and there are some order tutorials which actually talks about how to create your first project, how to modify the template, how to edit and default rendering of global rules, customize the screen. So there's a step-by-step approach. You can actually go through that, and there's a nice little wizards which are already built into this particular welcome page, which you can invoke and get you going. So basically, this is a nice way to start getting into Hatch application. So if you look at the Hatch version 5 project view, basically it's the Hatch perspective, and then you have project folders, and there are different views. So as we go along, we'll look at these in detail, but this is to just give you an overview of the project, which is a standard Eclipse-based framework, and the perspective, Hatch perspective, looks like any other perspective as I've seen as a part of the WebSphere Development Studio client. So now next, getting into some of the configuration steps using the default template. So let's look at how you can create or how you can get started into Hatch application with a simple project. So basically, right on the welcome page, basically I'm talking about page number 16 if you are following the page. So right on the welcome page, there's a launch create Hatch project page. You can actually click on that, and then it actually gets you into, which is on page 17, into a Hatch project wizard, where you put the name of the hatch project, give a description, and you can use the default location for the workplace, and then you specify what kind of gear file or enterprise application project. And you see there's another option there on that particular screen, says create as portal. So right there, you can actually check that and create that as a portal. You have a portal toolkit installed as a part of it. And another checkbox there is says add administration support, which is basically you can actually have the admin client of Hatch application. We'll look at that in the presentation. I have a slide of that, which talks about how you can administer your Hatch application. You can add the admin support right there from that clicking on that particular checkbox. So that's the first step into this particular project wizard. The next step is basically you specify your connection setting. So basically what host name you're trying to go to, what port number. So basically the telnet service listens on port 23 by default. So if I have a host name, port is 23, what type of host you are trying to go to. So here I'm trying to go to 50-50 for IC application. And then you can define the code page, what kind of code page you want, depending on the United States to be 037, and the screen size, where how you want to display this particular output. So I say 24 by 80, or maybe for the school file, I might go 24 by 132. Okay. So that's the second step in this particular wizard. Going to the third step, which is basically selecting the default template, which is on page 19 of the presentation, where there are some standard default templates which are provided as a part of Hatch 2. You can actually even customize these for the look and feel of your company logos and those things. You look at those aspects as part of customization section. But here you can actually go ahead and select, or you can create basically a default, your company template. Those are nothing but cascading style sheets which you can upload into Studio product, and you will be able to select that as a part of your post application transformation. So once you select that default template, you click on finish, and that's how you create your first simple application just in 3 steps. So it's a pretty powerful tool to create a Hatch application. Once the Hatch project is created, it actually shows the settings or summary page, where it actually shows the different settings for that particular application, page 20. And then look at, there are different tabs at the bottom which actually talks about connection templates, how the rendering happens, the different events, as well as the actual source for that particular file, which is basically stored as an XML kind of doc. You can look at that at the same point. So once the application is created, the next thing you can do is you can actually test that application right into your WebSphere Studio client or WDSP. And to do that, basically do a right click on your project in the project group, and then select run on the server, which is basically running on the WebSphere test environment, or running on the WebSphere application server test environment within your WDSP on your workstation, talking to iSeries, telnetting into iSeries, and you'll actually see interactive job get started once you actually invoke the particular application. So when you say run on the server, the next thing is basically you have to specify what kind of test environment you are trying to go to. And WDSC, as we have looked at in the previous presentations also, it offers multiple test environments depending on what kind of J2EE level you are trying to do. Either you can go to 1.3 or 1.2. Depending on if you have WebSphere Application Server 4.0, you can actually create a WebSphere Application Server 4.0 test environment, as well as WebSphere Application Server 5.1 test environment, as shown in this particular slide. Basically, here, these test environments are already pre-created. We can always select, create a new server, and create a new test environment. And then there's a checkbox to say, set this particular server as a project default. Subsequently, you won't see this particular screen. And once you actually say you want to run in this particular WebSphere application server test environment, it actually deploys the application, and then you see a browser window or browser view opened up right within your WDSP test environment with the iSeries sign on. Now, if you look at this, the default template which is shown, and you could see that there's basically a sign on screen waiting for the input, and you can see there's a display device already allocated into the virtual device and the subsystem shows you enter. You can type in the user ID and password and you can sign on to the iSeries, which will actually interact with your iSeries backend system and will have an interactive kind of session and a QNC subsystem. Now, all the look and feel of this particular template can be modified. Look at that customization section. So once you sign on, you'll see there are standard templates which are applied or standard transformations which are done for different things like both 400 main menu or options to look at some of those things. So if you see here on chart 24, it actually created a hyperlink for the menu option. You can actually change those buttons, radio buttons, or even list box, depending on what kind of customization you get. But as a part of the standard transformation, it has actually converted to the hyperlink. So in the browser, somebody can click on the user task and it will take you to the user task. Or you can actually have the button. Subsequently, just to show you another example of how it does the standard transformation, look at Work Active Drop Plan, where it actually has all the options listed as a list box, as a standard transformation. You don't have to go and select different components and widgets. We'll look at those details as we go along. But you don't have to select those. As a part of the standard transformation, it actually creates these kind of transformations. And as you've seen, within 3 steps, we could create this kind of a application with a standard look and feel with a browser-based access. Certainly, you can go and customize that subsequently. But how you must have seen how easy it is to create this particular application using the wizards that are provided as a part of the hybrid. The next thing what we're going to look at is customization. And I'm on basically getting into chart number 27, which basically, how can I improve the navigation and productivity of my host application? Now, what we have seen in the previous wizard-based simple application is, within 3 steps, we could create this standard application with standard transformation and template. Now, how do I go and customize this for my needs as well as improve some of the navigation flow of the application so that the user is not burdened with all the navigation required? You can actually optimize that for the web application. And there are different things you can do as a part of the particular customization. You can have macros or global variables to actually have pre-canned data entry or enter the data on behalf of the user or store the data into a global variable, and then you can pre-fill the text entities, those kind of ease out some of the aspects of data entry. So you can use those macros or global variables. Macros are nothing but the way you record on your PCOM. You can record the macros to even do certain tasks. You can actually the same way you can record the macros as a part of AdStudio. I have a slide. The next thing is screen customization. You can add buttons, hot links, drop-down boxes, valid value lists, modify graphics, font, colors, those kind of things. So you can actually customize each and every screen as a specific screen, or you can have general global rules in terms of saying anything with, as you have seen in the standard application, any of the OS 400 menus will be hyperlinked. And that's what you'll see for all the menus is in OS 400. That's the standard global transformation. Or you could have an application specific based on how you recognize that particular screen. And we look at those aspects as part of customization. You can have task folders where you can actually have different tasks for different screens. And there are nice wizards, and there's a red book which I'll refer towards the end of this particular presentation, which actually has samples which you can use to actually create those task folders as well as bar and line graph, which is basically a wizard-based kind of implementation. You can add business logic as you go advanced or as you become an advanced user, you can actually add business logic as part of this particular transformation. There's a local print support, we'll look at that, and there is a native keyboard support also. So for users who are getting migrated from 50 to 50 green screen into Hatch application, they can actually have even the native keyboard support so that they don't be lost. They can easily migrate to this new web look and feel of Hatch application. So let's look at some of these aspects in the details. So going to page 28, basically here we talk about the templates which can be modified to meet your needs. So we looked at the standard template, which which as a part of your standard wizard, we selected a standard template. But that template can be modified to put your company logos or company name, as well as the hyperlink, as is shown here, plus the other things, because that's a standard JSP, and Website Development Studio offers a page designer which you can actually customize this JSP to using the page designer. And that's a standard feature of Website Development Studio. So all the tools or all the templates which are listed in the left navigation pane, you can actually select those and apply those on the fly, as well as modify those for your look and feel the way you want for your particular company. So all different projects. The next thing which we are going to look at is some of the project settings, and which is on page 29. The default rendering rules, which is basically, as we have seen in this particular example which we looked at, where we say OS 400 menus are converted to hyperlink. Now, that's a default rendering or default transformation, which you can go ahead and change as a part of the project setting. So you can actually go ahead and change some of the global rules which are to be applied. As well as if you look at any screen, and we look at these particular two words, components and widgets. Now, components are nothing but your i3's screen, the way it looks like. I have a subfile or OS 400 menu, or I have a work active job command with different options. That's the component. And then widgets are basically how do I want to transform those components into a web look and feel, where you can say my OS 400 main menu should, or OS 400 menus should look like hyperlink, or I want to convert them as buttons or list boxes. So those are basically the actual actions you want to take on that particular component, convert them into a web token. Those are called widgets. I have a slide coming up on that too. So that's basically the project settings which you can modify. And to modify those, certainly you don't need any JavaScript. Basically, right there where it's a GUI framework where you can actually go and modify this right in the website. We talked about, as part of customization, macros. You can actually have a terminal session to your iSeries box right from your Development Studio client, and it opens up on another window, which is the host terminal session shown at the background. And then you can actually go ahead and record the macro. Even things like sign-on macros, or you can say a menu navigation macro. So if your particular application has multiple menus, you can hide those things from your end users, and you can actually navigate to the entire menu tree using the macro so that the end user don't have to type in any of those particular menu options. They simply click on certain buttons, and the application will take right through the menu chain to get to the application. So you can actually kind of optimize some of the navigation or flows of the application using some of the macro capabilities of Hyper application or Hyper system. Getting into further into actual screen customization on page 31, create a screen capture. So basically, as a part of the screen customization, the first thing you need to do is which particular screen I want to customize. So you need to first capture the screen. And then you can actually get to a specific screen by going through your host terminal window. And then basically there's a capture button for the capture screen. You can actually capture the screen. And then once you have the screen captured, you can actually basically apply any transformations you want. And we'll talk about that next slide. The first thing is screen capture. And then once you have captured the screen, how you want to recognize this particular screen? So there's a screen recognition criteria. So those who have used host publisher products, similar things which happen in the host publisher also. How do I recognize this particular screen? For example here, I'll say my OS 400 sign-on screen, I can recognize by the text on the top, sign-on, on row 1, column 36. So if on row 1, column 36, if you see a sign-on, that's how I recognize this particular screen. And then based on that screen recognition, I can apply different transformations to that particular screen depending on what kind of customization I want to do. So the next thing in the screen customization is actually select action based on that selection criteria or the recognition criteria. and what kind of transformation you want to apply. So there are default templates which you can apply, or you can create your own templates and apply those. If you want to play macro on that particular thing, so if I have a sign-on macro created, which is not a good idea, but if you want to create a sign-on macro, you can actually play that macro on that particular screen based on that screen recognition, and then play that so that the user, for example, if I have an order entry application with four menus drilled down, right at the main menu, if somebody wants to go for the order query, I can play a macro to take it based on the screen recognition of the main menu of order entry application. I can actually drill down onto that particular menu tree and then get right to the order query application without going through the entire menu tree, and user has to enter the options. So that's where effectively the macro can be used. And then based on the screen recognition, what kind of screen you can apply different transformation, how you want to present this to a web look and feel kind of one. So in terms of screen customization, which is on page 34, for each screen there are components. Now components are nothing but your different menus, tables, in terms of iSeries world, or command prompts. Those are called host components. And then there are widgets, which are nothing but how you want to convert them into graphical elements. Those are called widgets. So for any screen which is recognized, I can have different components on that particular screen. It could be a menu tree, or it could be a table, or it could be a subfile. And then I can apply different widgets. So for here, in this particular example, I have over 400 main menus, which is basically my menu structure, and I can apply different widgets, which is basically, it could be a list box, it could be a radio button, or it could be a button. And it actually shows a preview of that, so it's a nice, GUI look and feel tool where you can actually see those things before even actually applying those. So you can actually, right into the studio, it'll actually show you the look and feel of that particular component, how it will look like after getting transformed. So some of the advanced options, which is on page 35, which talks about basically you can add business logic. So for the advanced users, you can actually execute some of the Java classes as a part of this particular transformation. And if you want to do some kind of validation, you can actually have the business logic. Plus, you can have global variables, which is basically you can pick up some of the data from certain variables on the screen and then prefill that on the subsequent screens, or you can actually have a pre-filled scanned data entry on behalf of the user depending on what option you select. So in those cases, those global variables can be used. And there are some other things like play macro, show URL, forward to URL, and there are different kind of actions you can do as a part of this advanced action, part of the transformation. So in terms of different rule sets, which is on page 36, Hatch provides easy-to-use wizards to customize your host components. So there are standard default transformations. You can import HTML into your web page, or drag and drop HTML elements and create a new customized template. Use WebSys Studio, which is basically standard HTML editor, to add logos, graphics, backgrounds, web links, and things like that. And basically customizations which are saved, you can reuse those to different host screens across from basically different hosts. It could be iSeries or it could be a mainframe. The same customization could be reused, or a set of rules could be reused for different applications. So that's the powerfulness of Hatch Studio, where you can reuse some of the components you build as a part of your application. And Hatch can apply individual rule sets for each application, or different rule sets for single host applications from different end-user communities. And that's another powerful feature, where depending on what kind of user he is, if the user is from finance side, you can have a different transformation done for finance group with respect to sales. So within the same application, you could have different kind of transformations done depending on the user community. Or the same rule set can be applied to multiple host applications, as I mentioned. So you could go from iSeries to mainframe and apply the same transformation. And as you are aware, Hatch or Post Access Transformation Service is available on all IBM platforms. It's a multi-platform. So here's another example of a customized template where you can actually customize your GreenScreen application to actually have task folders. Then for delivery schedule, you can actually have a calendar entry pop-up instead of actually entering the date. And as well as if you look at the current order quantity, it will actually show on another table. So and plotting the graph with, say, inventory graph. And all these things can be provided as a part of a wizard-based tooling as part of Hash Studio. And the red book is listed in the resource section, which has some nice examples of how to get this thing done. And this is one of the advanced customizations which you can do. But to get you started, Hash has nice wizards which you can get you started, and subsequently you can go back to the same application and start customizing more and more as you get familiar with this particular studio product. And that's the beauty of this particular product, where initially you don't have much skill requirement, but subsequently you can build up on what you have built as a part of your standard application which you have created. As I mentioned earlier, there's a Hash Sprint support where you can actually, when you create a school file, it uses some of the iSeries Hash for Web components, and it actually converts those school files into PDF, portable document format, and send it down to your actual client workstation so that the clients can actually see that online, or they can actually save it through Adobe Acrobat plugin onto their local workstation or print it to a local printer. And that's a powerful feature from the end user community, where they can be anywhere in the world with a browser-based access getting into your application, and they can actually view an invoice which is created as a school file, convert it to a PDF, and they can actually print it off or save it off onto the local machine where they are accessing this particular application from. So in terms of local print support or Hash print support, local print support is a powerful feature that it actually creates PDF. Let's look at some of the administration aspects of this particular application, which is on page 40. As we have seen, as a part of the Hatch wizard, there was a checkbox for administrative support. And once you click on that particular checkbox, it actually embeds the administrative console as a part of your Hatch application. So whatever context studio specified, If you tag another slash admin to it, basically it takes you to the Hatch admin console, which you can, where you can do connection management, basically which offers connection pooling. So when Hatch applications create these multiple connections to the host, which could be 50 to 50, 30 to 70, or BT, they actually create a pool of connections and then reuse them so that you don't go through the overhead of creating those connections every time the user signs in. So basically, and you can actually manage the connection pools right from here, and you can specify how many connections, and then basically you can increase based on the usage of the particular application. Then there's a user management in terms of who can access particular application, the admin roles, the operator roles, and those kind of things. Then there's a license management, and as you must have already heard of, you must have seen, this product is a user-based price, so there's a license management where you can specify and you can control how many users are allowed to sign in, because this product is offered to the fastest. That's one of the admin console capabilities that you can actually look at. Let's look at some of the portlet support which got added as a part of version 5, where when you create a Hatch application, you have seen as a part of your wizard, right at the first screen, you can say you want to create that as a portlet or web application. So there's a choice right there. Or once you create your web application, you customize that on your project, and then there's a generate portlet option which actually creates your converts your web application into a portlet, and taking care of the JSP and the tag library requirements of the portlet, because the JSPs are not the same in your web application and your portlet. So it takes care of all those things to do. And part of the generate portlet, it actually prompts you for another project name, and then it creates a portlet. You can actually then take that project, create a WAS file, deploy that through portal admin, and you have a HATS application running in portal. So that's one of the things which HATS Studio offers seamlessly, where you can actually convert going back and forth from your web application into your portlet. And that's a powerful feature in terms of if you're using portal as one of your user interface requirements. So HATS portlet support got added as a part of WebSafePi. This is a kind of screenshot I have on page 43, which actually shows the same application running as a portlet as a part of WebSafePi. So the same application without writing any single line of code, simply going right-clicking onto the application, say generate portlet, create a WAS file, use the portal admin capabilities to deploy that application, you have that application up and running. That's a very tighter integration between web application and portlet. You don't have to create two different applications. Basically, create one, reuse that. Pretty powerful. So, getting into, I have some backup charts on how to package or prepare your application for the production. That basically, how do you create the YAR file, WAS file, and then use some of the administrative console of capabilities of WebSphere application server to deploy that. And there are some installation requirements, which we won't be going to that, but those are for reference purposes. Now, to summarize, in terms of what HATS is all about, which is on page 44, post screens are converted to GUIs on the fly in real time. Improved navigation of post application, as you have seen, it converts to task folders, graphs, as well as present the data in a much more user-friendly manner. In terms of client workstation, zero footprint on the desktop, absolutely nothing required besides the browser. And then another thing which I think I didn't mention, all the function keys which are there as part of your RPG COBOL application, they are active in your HATS application. That's another powerful feature where if your user community is used to using the function keys, for example, if I have order entry application, which I press F6 to accept the order, I can use the same function key to get you going into HATS application also. In terms of skills requirement to build a HATS application, as Mr. has seen through the presentation, in terms of Java skills, certainly you don't need any Java skills. Certainly you need to understand the flow of your application, which certainly all the i3 shop, they do understand the flow of application. And that's what you need to understand when you create the HATS application and you're recording the macros. Initially, it's a low skills requirement. You can combine screens or data from multiple applications into single application, and that's another powerful feature of HATS, where you can actually minimize the actual user data entry and optimize your application flow, or have to offer a single kind of window to have multiple host applications access to that. It eliminates the need for customize every screen. You can actually have a customization done at the global level and then apply those transformations. Another thing which we didn't mention in this, but it's part of the summary, is you can create the web services from the host transaction, and then there are wizards, a part of the web service development studio, which allows you to do that. It exploits the security and scalability of WebSphere application server, because WebSphere application server is the plumbing to deploy. That's the runtime for this particular HATS application support. And basically, it's extensible to WebSphere Studio. So whatever components you create as a part of the HATS Studio, you can actually go and customize those using the standard tools available as a part of WebSphere Development Studio, the page design, the ASP editor. That's probably in the nutshell which I wanted to cover as a part of the HATS. And I do have some other charts which talks about if you need help with the IBM Virtual Innovation Center, where you can actually submit a question. You just need to register, it's a free registration, and then you can actually get questions answered to Virtual Innovation Center. And I want to just touch basis with the resources. HATS website, which is basically listed there. I'm on page 46, just to refer to the page. And there are post-integration demos and labs, and there are some labs which are actually listed on this particular website, which probably will put a link on ICS Nation website also, where you can actually download those labs and try it out And the screenshots what you looked at in this particular presentation are some of the screenshots out of those particular labs which I have done as a part of this particular demo preparation. So basically, you can actually look at those labs, download those, play around with this particular product. Then website development developer domain has a lot of resources. And the Red Book, which is listed there, 6099, which I referred to during the presentation also, which has some nice examples or wizards examples, where you can actually create the graphs, create the task folders, some of the advanced customization which you can do with the hacks. So you can certainly refer to that for the Red Book also, which is a nice for the advanced. But to get you going, you can actually start with the demos and tabs on this particular website, second link on this particular page, and that's a pretty good website to actually get you started, and then subsequently try those things out yourself, and then even you can do some of the demos, other CCAN demos. So I think that's all I wanted to cover, so I'll turn it back to April for any questions.
And thank you, Mr. Rout. Actually, at this time, we would like to conduct a brief electronic survey consisting of one question. Following the survey question, we will be happy to take your questions. To participate in the survey, after I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key, followed by the number on your touch-tone phone that corresponds to your choice. On a scale of 1 through 4, how valuable did you find it to chat? For very valuable, press star 1. For valuable, press star 2. For somewhat valuable, press star 3. Or for no value, press star 4. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And that will conclude today's survey. We do thank you for your feedback. Now we'd like to take your question. Anyone wishing to ask a question may do so at this time by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on their telephone keypad. For those of you joining us by speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for questions. Our first question today will come from Michael Pascarell with Weedspammer System.
Yes, actually I had a couple questions. You said that we can write a macro, for example, to log in automatically?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. What I was wondering is can anyone intercept the password information, for example, looking at screen source or something like that?
The thing is, when you are actually putting this application on the web, certainly you need to look at some of the aspects of encrypting the channel. And once they encrypt the channel, certainly that cannot be looked at. Because even the data stream, which goes back and forth, if you are not encrypting your channel going out, certainly that is possible for information which people can look at in the back information. Even the data, not even just the login access.
Okay. You talked about user communities?
Yes.
How do you define user community?
Basically, you can actually have the users defined as a group of users, and there's a user management as a part of the admin function, which can define those, and subsequently use those as things. Based on this particular user group, I am going to basically, because any hacks user, he's a valid OS 400 user also.
Okay, and then inside the Hatch Studio is where you define these groups?
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, basically, you can actually go by the OS 400 user groups also and say, okay, based on these particular groups, so if I have a finance group and I can use the make use of that, then based on that group, I can do different transformations.
And when you use the term group on OS 400, you mean a group profile?
Yeah.
Okay. I had one more question, if it's okay.
Yep, go ahead.
When you talked about screen recognition,
mm-hmm.
Is it only visible characters that can be used for screen recognition?
I believe right now it's basically the visible character, but there are different criteria for screen recognition, not just characters. You can actually go by the entry fields and things like that, so it's not just the text. If you look at that particular screen, I think in terms of there are different recognitions which are possible.
And they can be used in an AND type condition?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Moving on, we'll hear from Diane Saunders of School District of Manatee County.
Hi, this is Dave Lesnick. I'm sitting in with Diane.
Okay.
And I have a question on the screen. On the display files, we use indicators that turn on and off screens and protect them, or fields.
Yes.
Will that show through using HAP?
Yes. Whatever indicators you have, I mean, the way your green screen application acts, the same rules will follow to HAT's application also. Because basically, because if you look at HAT has an interactive session going under Q into subsystem. So basically, you are executing your green screen logic first, and then HAT only takes that output and apply these transformations for the web look and feel. So whatever you see on the green screen will be displayed on the other side in terms of your browser-based access. So if you don't see those on the green screen, certainly it won't be shown on your browser.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Just a reminder, that is star one for questions today. And we'll now hear from Trong Pham of Charleston Craft.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Two questions. First of all, how do I get the plug-in for the HAT-Studio?
Now, part of the WDSC 512 packaging,
which is
the late HAT Studio, is part of your standard edition of WDSC.
Okay.
So if you have 5722 WDS product, which is the development studio on the iSeries side, you have licenses for WDSC, unlimited licenses, and part of that, you get HAT Studio.
Okay. Didn't you talk about configuration and port? Do you have a default port to use, or you can pick anything to use, port number?
For deploying the application on the server? Okay. Now, deploying the application on the server, the ports which you use for your web server application server instance, those are the ports which will be used. So for your web server application server, you have 12 ports which are used by web server application server, you must have seen, and there's one external HTTP server, which is your Apache HTTP instance. So you'll be actually using the Apache instance port to get to your application using your HTTP server now.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, no problem.
One final reminder, that is star one for questions today. Mr. Rout, it appears we have no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing comments.
Okay, thank you very much for everybody to attending this particular call. And I feel that you found this particular session valuable. And if you have any comments or suggestions, as Kevin mentioned, you can send a note to Kevin, or I have my email address right on the front page of this particular presentation. You can send a note to me, and basically I'll try to get all your questions answered. If you have any questions or comments regarding this particular product as well as this particular presentation. So thank you very much for attending, and I'll turn it back to April now.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference. We do thank you for joining us, and have a great day.